Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
Man, it's important to stay true to yourself and just know what God has planned for you. Like I said earlier, we can't all be rappers, can't all be gods and creators. God has a plan for all of us, and you know what your goals in life are. And if they align with God's wills, then you know there's something that's going to happen or something that's very achievable. Like, for example, my goal is to open a Christian gym. Mm. And I know that's perfectly doable. The only thing that's in my way is money, which is also doable. And but the way I have it laid out already, all the stuff I got written down, I know it's doable. I know it's the right thing. And I knew a few years ago when I changed my major, I knew that wasn't my future. And sometimes we're going to struggle with what is our future, what we're called to do. But the closer you get to God, the easier it's going to be to decipher. And you're going to have to make tough decisions in life. A common misconception about Christianity is it's easier because we have Jesus. No, it's harder because we are disciplined and we don't abide to what the world does. The world is easy. The world seeks instant gratification. Social media, TikTok. People scrolling TikTok, watch 6-second videos so they can get instant gratification. Boom, on to the next one. Nowadays, people can't last a 5-minute YouTube video because they aren't on TikTok way too much. But as a Christian, it's going to be hard. It's going to be disciplining. But it's going to be rewarding. And it's going to become easier over time. So, like, with following your call in life, I say that kind of to segue into this next topic I'm going to talk about. I want to talk about what one Pastor Jenkins, our pastor, First Baptist Church in Glen Arden, he always preaches that, well, if you hear about his story of how he became a pastor, he always knew he wanted to be a preacher. When he was in high school at Flowers, man, he's a strong soldier for doing that. He always knew he wanted to be a pastor. He wanted to preach to his friends. He tried to preach God to other people at his high school, but they saw him as a loser. They didn't like him. They didn't invite him to parties. He always says, people invite me to parties in high school, but now they come to my party, which is on Sundays when I preach the word of God. But at the age of 15, he started ministering. I think it was 15. He went to King George's County, or King George's, Virginia, to start training to become a pastor. But he knew from a very, very young age, and he had the passion at a young age to be a pastor. We're at that time, he's younger than us, but at our age, we have an idea of where we want to go. We know, Charles, you know, you want to have your own IT company. Jeff, you want to have your own film company. I want to have my own gym, Christian gym. And this topic I want to segue to is, like, people that shouldn't be talking about God. And by that, I mean pastors that are anointed pastors that shouldn't be anointed pastors. And specifically, I mean Mike Todd. This ties back to social media because Mike Todd blew up off of social media. Over the pandemic, we weren't able to go to church. We had to watch church online. And I've got to say, that man's setups, his church's setups for his sermons are beautiful. I will not lie, but that's the issue. It looks good. Back to the verse I said, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, on social media, his sermons look cool. They sound cool. We got the nice little motivational music in the back. But it's not sound doctrine. It's not theologically correct. And I talked about your calling because I was reading this article about how he came to be a pastor. And verbatim, he said, where is it? Wait, hold on. He said, I didn't even know if I was a Christian at a young age. You saying that in an article about how you became a pastor? I mean, that's not the full context, but that's something he said. He said, I didn't know if I could be a pastor. I didn't even know if I wanted to be a Christian. He said his mom told him to be a pastor, and he said, no, I don't think so. You might be thinking of one of my other brothers, but she kept pushing on him. And for that, I can't blame him, because what mama says is what mama says at a young age. But he straight up said, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't really want to be a pastor. When he first preached, he was like, I never prepared a message before, never preached before. It wasn't his calling. And now he has a grand audience. He's preaching to a vast audience, but the issue is his doctrine is incorrect. In the same article, he talks about how social media should be used for greater good, which he's right. He said God provides the social media for us to use to promote Christ. And I agree. If it was used properly, if it was correctly used. Now, the thing that he said in this article is also a red flag is social media, the internet changed what it means to be a pastor. Now, you're saying there's a change in what it means to be a pastor, meaning there's a change in what the Bible laid out for us. There's an issue right there. The Bible is the Bible, and nothing can be changed about it. If you're trying to change what the Bible is saying that saying something isn't right, there's an issue. You're fitting into these verses that I said earlier, Jeremiah 14, 14 through 15. That's a false prophet. You're just saying things that are off the top of your mind. He released a book called Relationship Goals. He also had a sermon series called Relationship Goals. People were upset because he basically put the sermons into the book and not anything different. But the point is, the book was supposed to be about how to go about relationships and sex from a biblical perspective. And the reviews I looked at said they were not biblically correct at all. They contradicted scriptures, and they were all about his own experiences and his own thoughts. Now, the verse I read, Jeremiah 14, 14 through 15, says they prophesy of visions and revelations that they have never heard of. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will punish these lying prophets, for they have spoken in my name, even though I've never sent them. Literally matches up with these verses. People glorify him, unfortunately. And let me clear this up. I sound like I'm slandering him. Maybe I am. I don't put all the blame on him for improperly preaching the Bible, but I pray for people like him as they get corrected. And he also didn't go to seminary. That's another thing. You should go to seminary and get theologically trained to preach the Bible as a leader of a church. I pray that people get biblically trained and people like him that just get anointed as a pastor without any training, just be corrected. And one last thing I'll say before I let y'all say something is I was watching a video that was talking about pastors. It was in 2003, but the statistic said 90% of African American churches anoint pastors that aren't theologically trained, which means going to seminary and actually learning about getting the proper training to become a pastor. So that trend kind of continues today because if you look at a lot of pastors, you can look up their bios, their biographies, their backgrounds. They'll say they haven't gone to a seminary, they haven't been trained. There, somebody was just like, yeah, you seem cool. You're the pastor. Hey, y'all go ahead and say whatever is on y'all's minds.
It's a difference between being a motivational speaker who's a Christian and being a pastor. Because I see Mike Todd go up there. I see his shorts and Instagram reels. And it's like, I feel like when you hear an actual pastor preach, yes, you're supposed to feel motivated and feel hope and know that God's going to work it out. But preaching should like cut you in a sense. You know, you should feel it on the inside, like, oh, like, okay, see where you need to make a change in your life. You should feel like the Holy Spirit working in you while the pastor's preaching. You shouldn't just feel like, oh my gosh, like, yes, you know, I needed this. Everything's going to work out. You know, like, you want to feel that way, but I feel like, you know, when Pastor Jenkins preaches, you're getting that feeling, but you're also getting taught about the word. And I feel like Mike Todd, he's not doing that because obviously he doesn't know how, because he didn't go to seminary, which is why he should, so that you can learn how to, you know, bring the word to a mass audience like that. Because, like, you're a leader. You're supposed to, if you're a leader of the ship, you know, you got to do your job the right way. You can't, mm-hmm. you can't be half doing your job. Because then the people of your church aren't getting the full, you know, experience that they should be getting when hearing the word of God. And, you know, I just feel like I was saying in our group talk the other day, like, I feel like he just does stuff to get views on Instagram. Like when he was calling Jesus a stripper, oh, people are going to click on that and watch that video. It's like, he just does stuff. And it's like, why? I feel like a pastor wouldn't do the things that he's doing.
Man, oh my God. Jesus is a shirt. That is yep. insane. That is yep. insane. I have not seen that. I don't think I want to see that. But yeah, that's interesting. What I will say though, man, is yes, I believe there is a distinct difference in being a pastor and being one to preach versus being a motivational speaker. Because anybody can, I feel like if you have a story, there are several points of motivation that you can take and try and incorporate in someone else's life. But the difference between being a pastor is you're using a guide, in a sense, being the Bible, and using that guide and connecting it to other people's lives, not you taking your own personal points of motivation and how you feel about things and imposing it on other people. That's not necessarily being a pastor or a preacher. You're not necessarily supposed to impose your ideals, your thoughts onto other people. It's you're speaking the word of God to other people. In using parallels from this guide, being the Bible that God provided, and preaching it out to other people, and seeing and letting them find the parallels between their lives and the Bible, and seeing where this guide can help them, versus, oh, I'm going out, I'm just talking about my life, and, you know, this is how y'all should be. No, no, it's a distinct difference, man. And I think once you understand that the Bible is a guide, and it's not just a random book that Christians use because this is what we've been using and for so long. When you understand that this is a guide to your life and the next step of where God wants to get you on several avenues, that's when you realize there is a difference between, oh, I'm reading article from a motivational speaker, or I'm hearing something from a motivational speaker, versus a pastor being able to preach the word, and I'm reading the word of God at the same time, and I'm learning, you know? So I think it's a very distinct difference, man. And to say, to use Jesus in any light, I think you should use Jesus as a way to be able to answer questions, walk in your everyday life, and really see how you can improve, because we're supposed to be children of God and walk alongside God. But God uses Jesus as a vessel, as flesh and the spirit, to show us that it's very much possible to go by the word of God and not just these false prophets who are telling you, do this, do that, this is how you should be, this is the way you shouldn't be. So there's a distinct difference. There is a very distinct difference.
Yeah, you can't just take a Bible verse and then, okay, read the Bible verse and then tell a story about your life and then, you know, go on and on and on like that. It's a really good form of storytelling, but like a good pastor is going to go and get like a whole long list, not like list of verses, but like a long passage of the Bible, point by point, boom, boom, boom. This is what God is saying, you know, breaking down the verse so that, you know, you can understand what God is saying in his word and not just telling the story to make you feel good on stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's funny how we were talking about the video essays earlier. To be honest with you, and a lot of people don't look at it this way, but a preacher is, and a pastor is making their own essay right in front of you. They're using an essay from, you know, their own, it can be from their own perspective, but they're making something from this guy, being the Bible, and seeing where there are keen points where they can teach someone else something, right? And not just saying like, oh, well, this was a part of my life, and, you know, this should be somebody else's life, and, you know, I found this in the Bible to be parallel, but, you know, this should be, no, it's not that. You go point by point, as I've seen many times. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Keith Battle. He really does this oftentimes, and he's super relatable. Like, he'll pull some jokes out of his bag, whatever. But what he does, man, is he goes like in parallels with the Bible, but also uses a lot of how we were saying the scripture in one blurb, right? And taking those points and then speaking on it. Not to say, oh, like, you should do this, you should do that. No, it's connections. It's connections that you make between each thing, and then, you know, just give it to the people. That's how you do it. You know, that's how I think of it. So it's a difference, man. It's a keen difference.
Something like that Jesus stripper thing to get clicks. Something else that got clicks. I think we know about this. Spitting on that guy's hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he tried to justify that. Like, that ain't right. And I don't know if the Bible says anything about this, but the pulpit, something that just shouldn't be disrespected like that. Mm-hmm. Like, at that church, a pulpit looks like a concert stage or even, like, just a place where you produce a show. Like, our pastor, like, Pastor Jenkins, the only thing that pulpit is used for is preaching and preaching only, praise and worship, and dropping money up there at times, but that's where people gather, say prayers, get saved. He's using his pulpit on productions. I ain't gonna lie, it looks good, looks cool. Got my attention, but that's just disrespectful, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ain't nothing the Bible say that. Like, that's some things, some people gotta change, some people need to be put out of their positions. I want to talk about what Ty Tribbett said on The Breakfast Club too. He said, like, people use being a pastor as social status and for money. And quite honestly, he's right. You see it with Mike Todd and some other mega churches. Like, people think it looks cool. People use, like we said earlier, Christian in general, they just do it to look cool on social media. And they may not even be Christians. They may just be trying to fit into the aesthetic. You know, so you're trying to get clicks. And it gets money. Like, people don't. The world has changed so much where me and my friend were talking about this. There's such a stigma behind it that, one, it gets slandered so much. And two, like, there's just such a facade, false facade about Christianity that's been put out by false prophets and people that just make a bad image about our faith. Like, that's why I did this podcast, because I want to show the truth. I don't want to show what these people are showing, trying to scare the hell into people. I'm trying to show the love of God, emphasis on the fact that we face hard times. We go through discipline, not punishment. So it's important to understand that. But there are false images about Christianity that need to be defeated. Like, I haven't gotten to this yet in my episodes, but homophobia. Like, the common stereotype that Christians are homophobic, I'm trying to defeat that. Common stereotype that Shoot, I don't even know that we don't like do wrong. Like people go, "Oh, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be doing that." Man, it's called the Imperfect Podcast. Why do you think I called it that? Because we're not perfect. Like, there's so much falsehoods about people. It's falsehoods from non-believers too, and falsehoods that have been put into people that listen to the wrong preachers too. Yeah. I'm trying to defeat all those. I'm glad I got the people around me, especially Dom. Me and him, I need to do a lot of work with him to get people theologically correct, get myself theologically correct. There's a lot of big things that need to be done in this world, especially with Christians, not just the non-believers, but especially with Christians.
I agree, man. I think, and it's funny you mentioned Dom, and I want to give a shout out to Dom because, you know, every time we've been on the podcast and, you know, I've been able to kind of talk to him, there's several takeaways that I'm able to gain from him. And I think one thing that I've understood in being able to talk to him is that it's not, it shouldn't just come from one person or one thing. It takes a village, as I say, you know, to really be able to spread the word of God, but also for, you know, one individual to take something away and be able to really learn the word of God, really understand it. You know, I think when you're just by yourself, you know, that's one thing, you know, you're able to find a couple things, but different perspectives, different understandings of the Bible, of the word, you know, it is important. And you're able to take things away that way. I think in a much better sense than it's like, it's centrally just you just taking something away. Like, yeah, you have your own perspective, but be open to others as well. And make sure you have those around you that can, you know, open your mind. So that way you can get the most out of what God is telling.
Amen.
We've been going for a while. There's going to be two episodes. But yeah. Yeah. Before we get close, you know what? I'm just going to get into the last bit.
Let's do it.
Jeff, you've done this before. Finish my episodes by asking my guests 10 questions so myself and the audience can get to know each other better. So, Jeff, let's go with you first. I hope I don't repeat anything I've asked you before. What is your dream job?
Man, my dream job is to become a filmmaker. The main goal is to inspire people and spread joy through the art of filmmaking. My selfish goal is to be one of the greatest filmmakers that ever exist. I want to get a lot of Oscars, hopefully, but you know, all that matters is that I inspire the world with film and, you know, help people live life, you know, teach them a lesson. Hope they come out of the theater a different person after watching one of my movies.
What's your favorite pair of shoes?
Bread 11s. Best shoe ever created, in my humble opinion. That is my absolute favorite shoe of all time.
Can I go wrong with a leather? What's your favorite Boy Scout memory?
Ooh, favorite Boy Scout memory. Man, it's gotta be the campouts. The campouts were always like, the conditions of the campout were so terrible that it kind of like forced everyone to like come together as a team and like feel like a real family. Cause like we were really, really struggling out there. I don't know if it was just 1657. It was like every time we went out to camp, it's always raining, cold, something was always going wrong, and it kind of like forced us to come together as a group and, you know, be a little family together. So definitely the campouts for sure.
If you can recall, what's the best sermon you've heard from Pastor Jenkins?
There's a couple. I think one of the best ones that like really hit me was when he was talking about how he, you know, he didn't have a lot of friends as a kid, and they used to make fun of him for wanting to be a pastor. And he was saying that, you know, if the world makes fun of you, that's how you know God has chosen you. And I just really related to that because I remember, you know, high school, I ain't had that many friends. You know, of course, people would, you know, make fun about, you know, my movie ideas and whatnot. And of course, when I started my YouTube channel, there's a lot of talk about that, but that just kind of made me feel like, okay, now I know that I'm going down the right path. Cause I know me personally, I've known since I was like 10 or 11, I didn't know it at the time, but I've known that I always wanted to be a filmmaker. Cause I remember, my godbrother, Sean, by the way, you guys, the audience doesn't know him, but, he had lived in Mexico for a little while. That's a whole different story, but he had just come back, and I don't know what prompted me to do this, but like I put my iPad down on this table in the family room, recorded with the front facing camera. And I just recorded us fighting with toy lightsabers. And I put the footage in iMovie, added some music. And I guess you could say that was the first ever film I ever made. And I just fell in love with that process. So I feel like that's my calling, and that sermon just made me feel like, okay, I'm going down the right direction. I know it now.
Yeah, I relate to that one a lot. I always love when he tells that story. What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Whew. That's a big one. There's a lot. I mean, most recently, I mean, we talk about this every time I'm on your podcast, what Mike had told me about, you know, you can build a beautiful garden for butterflies to come, right? But even if the butterflies don't come into your garden, you still have a beautiful garden, you know? It's all about working on yourself. I feel like I get a lot of my advice from movies. There's this really good movie called Hustle with Adam Sandler. It's this basketball film. And the whole message of the movie is it's you against you. You're not competing against anybody else in life. You're not competing, trying to be better than this guy, this girl. You're competing against yourself to be better than you were the day before so that you can be the best version of yourself possible. You're not trying to be, you know, stop trying to be the next Michael Jordan, the next LeBron, the next Drake. Be the best Life with Nate. Be the best 10K. Be the best King Beam that you can be. And I feel like, yeah, that's, as of recent, that's probably the best advice I've been given. Just focus on yourself.
What's your favorite YouTube video that you've made?
This is a good question. Probably my La La Land video essay. That's one of my scripted videos that was like, I still to this day think that might be the best video I've ever made. Like, the script was amazing. The edits I did this really cool edit where like I got the font that they used in the movie, and I like had different sections that divided up my video, and like I had the music from the film video. It was really good. My Dune 2 video, I absolutely loved. Like, that was fun. And my Everything Everywhere All at Once video essay. Those are probably my top three that I'm like, I watch those videos and I'm like, okay, if I weren't me, I'd watch this. And that's how I know it's a good video.
What are your top five movies?
Ooh, that's easy. I'm going in order from number five to number one. See, now it's not easy because I forgot. I know my top three. Let me go to my Letterboxd because I have my top 20 films in a list, so I can get you this question easy. Let's see. Okay. Couple honorable mentions: Everything Everywhere All at Once and Inception. Great films. But my top five movies of all time, at number five, Django Unchained. Excellent movie. I love westerns. It's like, you know, little revenge against the white people. You know, we deserve it. Great film. Love Tarantino. Love DiCaprio. Love Jamie Foxx. Great movie. Number four, The Batman. The best Batman movie that there is. Matt Reeves, The Batman. Is just, that's my definitive version of Batman. I love it. Number three, Star Wars Episode III, Empire Strikes Back. It's just, that's cinema. That final battle is great. And there's a lot of memes, and I like memes. So, yes. At number two, La La Land. One of the greatest movies ever created, in my humble opinion. Please, audience, if you haven't seen La La Land, go watch it. It'll change your life. You might get a little emotional at the end, but it's still great. And number one, what I think is the greatest movie of all time, is Creed II. It is an allegory for life. There are some great boxing scenes. Victor Drago is like the hugest boxer I've ever seen in my life. He just like looks like he could kill you with one punch. And the soundtrack's great. Michael B. Jordan is amazing. Go watch Creed II.
What's your favorite workout?
Bench press. Easy.
Wow.
I love bench press.
Insane.
You just feel nice when you bench a lot of weight, you know? Like, I saw this statistic that only 3% of people that go to the gym can bench 225.
Yeah,
and I'm in that 3%.
Yeah, whatever.
You bench at 225 and you get up feeling different. You feel like you can conquer the world. Best workout, for sure.
Anyways. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I overthink too much. Like, way too much. I really get in my head, and I feel like that's one of my biggest villains in my life, is my own head. So if I could get rid of the ability to overthink at every possible junction in life, that's what I would change.
All right, last one. What's your favorite snack?
Oreos. Either original Oreos or double stuffed vanilla Oreos.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Tenka, it's your turn.
Do it, man.
All right. What's your favorite place that you've traveled to?
Ooh, great question, man. Traveled a lot of places. My absolute favorite, and I've been talking about it as of late, Turks and Caicos, by far. That was, man, let me tell y'all about that real quick. I'm going to say like a minute worth of it. But I remember I was swimming with fishes. Like, literally, the water was so clear. I was swimming with fish, a school of fish. And I remember, so I'm like literally sitting in some sand. The school of fish is going past. There's a boat. It's a cruise ship going past on the water. The sun was set. And behind me, like, there's the vacation villas behind me, all that. And there's like this big party behind me. And that was like the most calm moment that I've ever been in my life. And I could close my eyes. And anytime I need to, you know, be calm, I refer back to that moment. Like, sometimes that exact moment helps me go to sleep. You know, so Turks and Caicos, by far, I'm trying to go back this summer, 100%.
What's your favorite Bible verse?
Wow. If I had to say my favorite Bible verse, funny. So my mom, right, she always refers to a lot of different verses, but I can, you know, I can't exactly quote it, but I do remember, she goes to this one, I guess, piece of it. And to sum it up, basically, it tells you not to give up. And don't do more than you have to, just to sum it up. But I can't remember the exact verse, but it tells you to not do over the amount that you need to and just do your best. Mom always told me to do my best. So that's one verse that I remember, you know, remember off the top of my head.
Your favorite Boy Scout memory?
You know, this one, is kind of a tearjerker, but I think Bayport was my favorite by far. when we went, that was a one of one experience, one of one. Absolutely. And that was my first and my only summer camp trip that we had ever went on. And I just remember literally all of us were together, and there were so many different experiences that we took away. But I remember on that second to last day when we played basketball, like that was by far like probably one of my favorite moments. And it was just, it was so crazy because I, like I said, I remember all of us were there. We were all there. It was so fun, man. Man, I couldn't ask for a better experience and better guys to be around. You know? Like that was absolutely one of one. Like I remember I got there and I was like, man, do I like, can I stay here for this whole week like that? You know? And lo and behold, I did, man. And to this day, that moment and you know, that camping trip set me up to be like the person that I am today, because it showed how many conditions that I could go through and really how much that I could achieve in such a small amount of time. Like it was great and still have a good time too. Like that was my absolute favorite.
Y'all are brave. I hated those week long camps.
It was good bonding though. It was good bonding.
It was, man. It was.
Bro, I can't stand a dirty bathroom.
Bayport.
Especially now PepsiCo. Now PepsiCo.
Oh, PepsiCo was rough.
I had that little outhouse. Now I remember me and my dad, he was like, yo, there's this little shed as a shower in the middle of the woods. We're gonna find it. I'm like, oh, okay. It was there. Man, was that doing dirty though?
It was dirty.
Man, that was bad. That was bad. All right, next question. Who's your favorite athlete?
Favorite athlete, man. It's funny. We were talking about him earlier, man. It's LeBron James, man. LeBron James. Absolutely. 100%. LeBron James. And there's no, I don't think I have to really clarify. Just a great guy. Great guy. And a Capricorn at that. I'm a Capricorn, you know? So, yeah, he's a great guy.
What do you hope to accomplish by the age of 30?
Wow, man. That's pretty close to almost a 5-year plan, because we'll be quickly approaching at 25 soon.
Ooh, you know, that is close.
Yeah. So I think by the age of 30, I think I have my website built for 10K Sneaks. YouTube channel should hopefully be past 1,000 at that point. I want to make the 10-piece series into not just like how I'm doing it on YouTube. I do want to transform it to being on streaming platforms as well. So having that be on streaming platforms, and having an IT company, man, that's one thing that I want to have in stone and, you know, at least written down and maybe even having it in place. So, and, also having my family by then. So, you know, start the K legacy, you know? Yeah.
You probably answered already. What's your dream job?
Dream job, data analytics, being an analyst, man, for a big time company, and even a CEO of a data analytics company.
Hey, you have a big brain.
Yeah.
Where do you want to live in the future?
Oh, it's a great question. I think I've kind of dibbled and dabbled between this a little bit, but I've always thought about either living somewhere where it's like truly slow living, not like super fast, or, you know, medium-based living. So either here, being in the DMV area, or considerably going to Carolina or even Florida. So, yeah, those are...
Carolina's where it's at.
I know, right? And some of the fams down there. So, hey, we never know. One of those options.
What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Man, I give my mom a lot of props. And this is another one that she's given me. Like, this is one I never forget. Like, I bring this with me everywhere I go. But she gave me the advice of... pretty much saying, don't make life harder than it has to be. A lot of times we do things where we overthink. We run a race that's not our own. We try and do things so fast to, you know, accomplish a goal so quick. It takes time. And truth be told, we're doing all these things that makes it so hard for us to accomplish certain goals in life. And it will be times where, man, I would want something so quick, and it just wasn't my time, you know? And I made things truly harder than it had to be by doing things that weren't on the pace or in my path to even be doing in the first place. So once I realized how big that piece of advice was coming from my mom, I realized that was the best advice that I could have ever been given in life. And it's still taking me to higher places to this day. And, you know, I think it's going to continue to carry me. So that's my best piece of advice that I've ever been given.
What are your favorite shoes?
Favorite shoes, man. That's hard for me. Now everybody know that's hard because NK sneaks this, you know, every day it's a new pair. But I'd have to say my all-time favorite is the Black Cement 3s. Not even because Mike wore them. I'm not saying that. Because it's simply because that was like literally one of the first big shoes that I ever got. And that shoe alone, like I can say, is probably the oldest out of my collection. But it's also just, it helps me to remember, like, if you want something, go get it. That was a shoe that I wanted so bad, and I got it. And it's like, yeah, that's my favorite. And the color blocking is beautiful. So it's an all-time favorite, too. So hey, why not?
All right, last one. If you're given $1 million, what would you do with it?
Wow. You know, I hear this question a lot. And the ultimate thing I'm always saying is invest it. Always invest. Now, there's different ways you can invest, though, whether that be saving the money, putting it towards something, or putting it into something that can make you some quick money. But I would say for that $1 million, I would literally take half of that, which is $500,000, and save that, right? The other $500,000, I'd probably buy my mom, my parents, a house. Buy them a house. You know, I've always wanted my grandma to get a house herself or another house herself, so I'd probably get her a house as well. Also, there's one thing that I've been thinking about recently is creating a rec center that's strictly just swimming pools on swimming pools on swimming pools for different athletes. Because I remember, like, I had to go tons of places just to be able to practice and have to go through different programs just to practice at this facility and swim at it. So just have one central location, like building one central location that's for really any swimmer, whether they be a child, an adult, teenager, you know, older people, you know. So I think that's also another thing I would build. And man, hey, the biggest thing that I've always been about is providing some sort of wealth to the youth and to those that have been behind me. So taking, you know, a good amount of that money, man, and giving it back to the guys that's been here for me. So you guys on here, Jonah even, who's not here, but everybody has been supporting me, man, and younger kids in my community, because I remember at, you know, older people that would always tell me it's important to give back. And it's not always about what you want. It's about what you need. And I think the thing that people need is they need someone to be there for them, you know, financially, but also be able to provide them hope. You know, a lot of people are low on hope, and sometimes just a sprinkle of that money can bring hope to people. So I think providing money to my community as well in different ways, not, I don't exactly know what ways I would do that, but I'm definitely, you know, giving it back to the community 100%.
Great, and that's it. Oh, snap, I thought that was. So before we wrap it up, anything y'all want to say about topics, anything in general, any last remarks?
Beam, you got me. I go.
Yes. I remember now, actually, the best piece of advice I've ever been given. My friend said not to change for anybody, not even them. And like at the time, I had like very much admired this person, and like for them to tell me not to change for anyone, not even them, I was like, okay, yeah, I can just be myself in any possible situation. And I think that's the best piece of advice I've ever been given, to just be yourself wherever you are.
Absolutely, man.
That's all I got left to say. Subscribe to King X Beam on YouTube, please. Road to 1K.
100%. Man, I actually want to, now that I have it, the best Bible verse that I've ever read, or a scripture that I've, you know, ever heard, and that's pretty true to my life, is that I think it's in John 13:7. You may not know where you're going or what's going on in life, but God will walk with me, and I'll understand that later. And you know, that's been pretty true to my life for a long time, because sometimes, man, like life is so cloudy and things can be so dark and like misunderstood, and you know, you just don't know where you're going. But when you walk with God, there is nothing that can stop you, and you will get to that promise, man. I promise you will get to that promise. But as long as you walk with God, man, there's nothing that you can't do. I tell people all the time, it's about, and being, it's funny you hit on them. It's you versus you. So it's all about how you think, how you operate, where you want to go. But if you understand that it's you versus you and God is with you, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't be. You can be all that you want to be. You just got to go for it. Understand, man, hey, God is right there with you. But enough said by me, your boy, Mr. 10K. Go check me out on YouTube at Mr. 10K. And also go check out the reels on Instagram at Talking10K. And 10K Sneaks as well is also in the bio on my Instagram. Man, go check that out. If you need a custom order or any shoe, anything, I got it. So let me know. But it's enough for me. Nate, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be on the podcast.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. And we've been
it's always a great different to be on your perfect podcast, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to, hey, being on plenty more, you know? So, absolutely. But man, it's been great. I've enjoyed it, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank y'all for joining me. And hey, like you said, I got a lot more coming in a few weeks. I got these two in another episode. I actually got, yeah. Which Jeff, you're like,
the next
show run. You're on like the
that's
next
what I'm
three,
saying.
Thing.
Yeah, we're on a like, short run right now.
Yeah, you got a lot you're gonna be in.
I got a lot to say. I can talk all day.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hey, go look out for Dinnerview. That's coming sometime.
Yes,
soon.
Dinnerview's Dinnerview's dropping in April. Starting in April, Dinnerview's will be dropping an episode every month.
Let's go.
So go subscribe on YouTube, listen on wherever you listen to your podcast at. Interviews make a comeback.
Yeah, I heard some.
Nate is actually on an episode.
Somebody
if you care about this guy, you know, go look at his episode on Interviews.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, guys. I was thinking about, you know, Too Far Mafia. We're gonna be back real soon, but summertime. It's time to go up. I think I got a couple things in store that, you know, it's going to be some vlogs, you know, here and there sprinkled out. I think some people will really look forward to these things, but Too Far Mafia about to come back real strong. And, yeah, man, these 10 pieces are only going to get better. Yeah, everything's about to go up, man. Stay tuned.
Yeah, so this will be right now, this is the end of episode 2, because it's gonna be a 2-episode series, but hey, if you watch both episodes, thank you. Look all the links in the description. If you're watching on YouTube, even on any streaming platform, everybody's social is gonna be linked, my socials included. Come to Bible studies, group therapies, Mondays 8 p.m Thursdays 8 p.m yeah, I need more people there, because we got to build a Christian community. So like, subscribe, comment, things of that nature. Follow them. I love you. Thank you. Where's the record button?